your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, or walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name, when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, those straining in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to praise. When the darkness blows in,
God.
God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Heartbeat within me whispers your name. Every sunset, each evening says the same. Jesus, the sure foundation. Morning till the end of the day, may your presence be near me. This I pray, Jesus, the sure foundation. Jesus, holy fire consume me, set me ablaze, set me ablaze. Jesus, Jesus, my sure foundation, Yeshua. Exhale your praise. Holy fire consume me. Set me ablaze.
Amen.
Thank you for the word of the Lord.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made,
Indeed, God, you are great and holy and awesome. Lord, we are humbled to be in your presence this morning. We thank you, Father, that we can be here. More importantly, we thank you that you are here. Oh, God, how great it is to be in your presence. How wonderful it is to walk with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God, we give you glory this morning. Lord, we pray that this time of worship would be that sweet-smelling aroma that you so desire. Lord, as we lift up your name, as we praise you, oh God, be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last week was Mother's Day, so we took a little bit of a detour from where we've been, and that is in the book of Daniel. We're heading back there this morning. If you want to flip open to Daniel, we'll be looking at a few things. 2 weeks ago, when we talked about Daniel, we threw out a word that the world doesn't seem to care much about anymore. That word is integrity. Integrity. Most people today focus in on what is beneficial for me, what helps me the most, what's right for me, not necessarily what's right in general, specifically what's right in God's eyes. So we've lost that focus, that important piece of integrity in our world. While the book of Daniel is filled with all kinds of prophecy and information about the end times, Daniel himself stands as an example to us of how God wants to use us, how God uses people, specifically how he uses people that wholly integrate his will into their lives. Again, from a couple weeks ago, you'll remember that integrity part being wholly integrated. And that's what's important, folks, is that we are wholly integrating God's will and his plan into our lives. In Daniel's case, it went all the way down to the smallest little detail, like the fact that he was going to eat differently than everybody else was eating. He didn't want to eat that which the king had provided for him. Now, Daniel wasn't counting his carbs. He wasn't on some sort of a diet. This wasn't his plan to lose weight or anything else. Daniel did it solely to please the Lord and to be obedient to the Lord. That was the reason he did what he did. He made his decision to please his God. So far, we know a couple things about Daniel. We know that he was pulled out of his homeland and forced to become a stranger in a strange land. We know that he was forced to serve the king of that land, and ultimately it wasn't just one king, but a handful of kings that he wound up serving. Now, I've used the word forced there a couple of times, and I did that very deliberately this morning, because it's very appropriate in this situation. Daniel didn't have a choice. Well, maybe Daniel had a choice, but it wouldn't have ended well. That would have probably caused him to be killed immediately had he resisted. So Daniel was forced into a situation that he was not planning on during the course of his life. He did, however, have to make some other choices, like how he was going to handle that forced change, how he was going to handle the new situation that he found himself in. Not only did his integrity remain intact through all of his decisions, but he continued to trust the Lord. Through everything that happened, through everything that was going on in his life, he continued to trust. Very much like Abraham did. When God told Abraham, I want you to sacrifice the son that I promised you. Abraham didn't put up a fight. He didn't say, but. He said, okay. And he trusted that God had something bigger planned, something bigger in store. It's incredible when we trust God what happens and how he comes in and he works through circumstances that we don't particularly find desirable. Circumstances we don't really like to be a part of. But when our trust and our hope is in him, he comes shining through. Both of these men, Abraham, Daniel, they both realize that God's plan was much bigger and way more comprehensive than anything they could have figured out or planned on their own. And they were smart individuals, but they knew that God's plan was a bigger plan. Bigger than they could see, bigger than they could realize, greater than anything that they could be a part of in their immediate surroundings. They realized that God is bigger than their circumstances. When life takes those unexpected detours, and let's be honest, folks, life takes unexpected detours. We've all been there. Likely many of us will be there again. That's simply truth. When life takes those unexpected detours, as it does, we are given the privilege to choose how we're going to handle those detours. Are we going to handle them in a godly, God-fearing, obedient way? Or are we going to throw to the side everything we've ever learned and understood about doing God's will? How are we going to handle it? See, we have the privilege to stand on the words that we've been given. Words have been written over a period of years and years and years. We can stand on those promises, even like the words spoken to Jeremiah. Words actually spoken about the very event that Daniel was now personally dealing with and living through himself. Jeremiah said this, chapter 29, verses 10 through 14. He said, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place." Here's the words, we all know them. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found in you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity." God, in essence, said, "I know this looks a little strange, but trust me, I will see you through this. Trust me, I will lead you through that valley, through that darkness, through that hard time. Trust me, and you will see deliverance. Even if your immediate circumstances don't look all that great, I got this," is what God would say. "I'm in control. Just trust me." See, God always has a bigger plan than any of us can even fathom. We think we are these great intellects, mankind in general. We think we can reason our way through all these circumstances and situations. But God says, "I'm bigger. Trust me. Even when it doesn't make sense, and I'll bring you through this." And his plan for us is always better than what we can see with our limited vision. Now, Daniel understood all this. As bad as his situation may have seemed on the surface, Daniel understood that if he trusted God, God would deliver just as he promised he would. God would see him through these tough days and see him through more tough days that were yet to come. And Daniel understood the second part of what Jeremiah wrote, something we all tend to push aside many times, but a very important detail. Look at what it says. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. First of all, it says when, so you have to seek him. It's not if you feel like it. It's not when it's comfortable. It's when you seek me. And then that little bitty word, if, is in there again. If you seek me with all your heart, that's when you will find me. Daniel understood those words. Daniel understood that God would do what God said he would do as long as he was seeking God wholly and at all times in all situations. That's something we struggle to understand a lot of times. See, even in the midst of pain, Daniel was seeking God wholeheartedly because he understood that there could indeed be purpose in the pain. That's not something we like to think about or something we often allow to run through our mind, but there can be purpose in the pain. Daniel himself was experiencing quite a bit of pain. Maybe it wasn't physical, but he was dealing with the pain of separation. He was taken from his family, from his homeland. He was dealing with the pain from his loss of freedom. Remember, he was part of the noble crowd or the royal crowd, and now he was a servant. His freedom was, in essence, taken from him, and there's a pain in that. He was going through the pain of being in a foreign, strange land. All those things are pain, folks. Maybe it's not a physical pain that he felt in his body, but it's still a pain. And God was going to see him through, because in the midst of that, he did not lose hope. He did not let his trust in God wane, but he stayed focused. I love looking at articles and reading through different people's opinions on things. I think that helps to understand and build our knowledge base as much as it can be. Researchers believe that one of the biggest factors in losing hope or in giving up is when we start to believe that our pain, whatever type of pain it is, mental, physical, emotional, whatever it is, when we start to believe that our pain is happening without any reason at all, that's when we begin to lose hope. When our pain, when our suffering seems absolutely meaningless to us, then we start to think that there is no reason to go on. We start to think, you know, why should I bother? Certainly when it comes to our walk with the Lord, we begin to realize, why should I continue trusting Him or walking with Him? He's allowing me to go through this valley. What purpose can there be? When we begin to think that way, we begin to become hopeless. We begin to wane in our trust of the Lord. We don't understand why we might be punished the way we're being punished, or why circumstances are the way they are, instead of trusting as we're supposed to trust. When our heart and mind is convinced that our situation, our pain, is unwarranted and unfair, that's when we decide there's no hope, and we give up. And we give in, and we wander away, and our integrity goes out the window. Our trust in our Savior goes out the window. We have to understand that He is sovereign. And in all circumstances, in all situations of our life, He still knows best, no matter what those circumstances might be. Daniel was taken into exile as a teenager. And from everything we read, he was there the entire 70 years and perhaps beyond. He never gave up on God, though. 70 years of being away from his homeland, being away from his family, being pushed into this other life, forced into this other way of living. He never gave up on God. He never said, enough is enough. He never turned his back. He kept trusting. He kept pushing forward. He kept obeying. He kept doing what he was instructed to do. And through him, through Daniel, through all these circumstances, God did some incredible things, some very miraculous things, including changing the hearts of other people, changing the hearts of a very proud king. Despite all the difficult circumstances put his way, Daniel did not waver. He understood that standing his ground and trusting God was incredibly important to his well-being, to his survival, if we can say it that way, and that through it all, no matter what it was, God would deliver him. God would stay true to his promise. He stood on what Jeremiah said, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." How many of us is God saying that to today, right here, right now, in the midst of whatever we're dealing with? Trust me through this. I know the plans I have for you. Just trust me. This whole situation for Daniel was much more than just being released from Babylon. It was much more than just being able to go home, to go back to where he was or what he may have considered a normal life. It meant that God really did have Daniel's best in mind. As Daniel saw these promises being fulfilled and these things being done, it built him up and he understood that God can be trusted. God will do what God says he'll do. But had Daniel not pushed forward, would he have seen that? Would he have seen the hope that there is there? Along with knowing that God would see Daniel through, Daniel possessed another very, very important characteristic. Daniel believed that God is able. This is an area, honestly, many of us struggle with. We struggle with it maybe even more than we realize we do. Because it's very easy to say, I believe, but do we really believe? Let's look at Daniel and how he believed in God so strongly. Let's look at this. Daniel chapter 2. I'll give you a little synopsis here. King Nebuchadnezzar presents an absolutely impossible task to some people. In this particular chapter, we read that the king has a dream that troubles him greatly, a dream that keeps him from getting sleep and rest. And the king is adamant. He wants to know, what does this dream mean? He just wants to know. I have to find out the absolute truth behind this dream. Why did I have this? But here's what he had fixed in his mind. He's like, well, I'm not just going to call the wise men in and tell them to interpret the dream, because they'll just tell me something to make me happy. They'll just tell me something that's going to make me feel good. That's not what I want. I want the truth. I want to know what this dream means. So the king decides that he's not going to tell anybody his dream. He wants the wise men first to tell him what he just dreamt and then to interpret that dream. He felt that that was the only way that he was going to get to the honest, true interpretation of this dream. All right, forget about Daniel for a second. What if I came up to you and said, I had a dream last night, And God told me that you're going to tell me what that dream is and what that dream means. Come on, Rich. God is going to tell you what I dreamt. Come on, Jim. God's going to tell you what I dreamt. Roger, God's going to tell you what I dreamt. How does that make you feel? You know, I think, first of all, we would all back away in complete shock. We might have a little comfort in the fact that God sent me to you saying that you were going to interpret it for me. There might be some comfort in that, knowing that God had some direction in all of that. That wasn't the case for Daniel. In fact, Daniel didn't even know what was going on with the king initially. He knew nothing about the dream. He knew nothing about the wise men trying to interpret the dream. He didn't know about it at the beginning. But God gave the king that dream, and it greatly troubled him, and he wanted answers. So he called all these wise men, all these people in that he thought could give him what he wanted, and he said, "Do this." They're like, "Well, no, tell us the dream and we'll tell you what it meant." He said, No. You're going to tell me and then interpret it. That's what I firmly decided. And oh yeah, by the way, if you don't, I'm going to kill you. We laugh, but that's what Scripture says. Scripture says if you are unable to do what I am asking you to do, prepare to die. Now how do you feel? Now how do you feel about interpreting my dream? Not so good, huh? Tell me my dream and what it means, or you are going to die. Yeah, I think there would be complete silence when they heard the king utter those words. Daniel was never asked to interpret the king's dream, nor was he even aware of what was going on initially. But Daniel's life was on the line. Because the king said, if these guys can't do it, I'm killing all the wise men in the kingdom. That included Daniel and his buddies. Every one of them. When Daniel heard the king's demand, when he finally reached his ears and he heard about what was going on, Daniel knew who could help him. Daniel knew the one individual that could help him. Daniel had such confidence in this individual that Daniel went back to the king himself and said, "Give me a minute, I'll get it for you." Daniel 2, starting at verse 14. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He said to the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house, explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. Can you imagine trusting God for such an impossible task? Truly, ask yourself, what would you have done? I got to admit this morning, my first thought would not be, "Hey, wait a minute, God will get this for me, don't do anything." I can't say that would be my first thought. I'm just being honest with you. What would your reaction be in such an impossible situation? I'm facing death here. What do I do? Maybe bring it back home to a more realistic situation today. Kind of. What would you do if you go into the office tomorrow and your boss comes up to you and says, hey, I just got back from this great, great business meeting with one of our clients, and you're going to give a presentation on what happened. But I wasn't there. Oh, that's fine. You'll know. You know. You're going to do it. You'll be okay. You tell them how great it's going to be for our company, what the customer said. Why don't you put a PowerPoint together and make it all look really nice? By the way, if you don't do it, you're fired. And if you don't do it well, you're fired. Most of us would probably just go back and start packing our desk. Again, being honest, most of us would just say, okay, I'm done. I don't know what else to do. Would we even think of asking God to do the impossible for us? And then believe that God would answer that impossible request with the correct and appropriate answer. Is that how we think? Is that what goes through our minds? Or do we try to figure out things in our own intellect, in our own understanding? Or do we cry out to the Savior of the world, asking Him for the impossible? Daniel was faced with this task. There was no way he could do it on his own, and he understood that. He knew that. Yet Daniel also knew what was impossible for him was very much possible for God. And he believed, that's key in all this, he believed that God could and would do it. Now, I want us to understand one other very important thing here. Daniel did not go back and ask God to change the king's mind. Daniel went and asked God to do the impossible. Daniel very well could have said to his buddies, pray that the king will, you know, get his head back in order and realize how impossible this is and let us off the hook. But he didn't do that. He said, pray that God will have mercy and give us the answer that we need. As impossible as it might seem. Not only do we often avoid asking God to do the impossible, I'm not sure we always believe God can do the impossible. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Brian's mom stood here and shared with us and ministered to us, and incredible service. She said something a couple of times and to a couple of people very specifically, but it just leapt off the page for me. How often do we believe that God can do what we're asking Him to do? How often do we receive that blessing that God has for us? How often do we step back and say, God, it's impossible, but You can do it? She reminded me of that a few weeks ago in the message that she shared with us. Do we receive if we don't believe? We have to believe in order to receive, folks. You want to have victory in whatever situation you face? Then you better believe God can give you that victory. Or the odds of receiving it are much less. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. But if we can't believe in what God has for us, how do we expect to receive it? Now, the other thing to keep in mind here is it may not happen the exact way that we want it to happen. That may not be our thoughts, our plans, our goals may not be what God has put together. Dare I say, let Him do it His way? Because it's far better than any way we can imagine or come up with. I don't know what Daniel had in mind when Daniel walked up to the king and said, give me time. But Daniel knew that his God had something in mind and that He could handle it. This happened throughout Daniel. When you read through that book, you'll see over and over and over again, Daniel believed in God. He believed what God could and would do. Lest you think it was just Daniel, even his buddies. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Ever heard of those guys? They believed in God as well. They believed God could do the impossible when they were faced with a horrific situation, they shouted out and said, God can do it. Daniel chapter 2. We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. We're not going to get into that whole story, that whole account today, but even in their face of death, they believed God could save them. And they said, even if God doesn't save us physically, we are not going to waver in our trust of our God. He will save us one way or another. Until the day that God calls each and every one of us home, we are going to face what seems to be impossible situations in our lives. Times when there doesn't appear to be any kind of real solution or real direct answer. There's not some three-step process. We are going to face different situations that are way out of our depths, beyond what we think we can handle. It's during these times that we risk losing hope. If we stop trusting like we're supposed to, that's when that begins to wane. Begins when we begin to struggle even more, and we begin to start relying on ourselves more and on God less. What can I do to change this situation? What can I do to make it better? What can I do? Guess what? You can't do anything. At least not the way God can, if we will simply trust Him. If we venture down that path too long, saying, what can I do, what can I do, what can I do? That's when we tend to make wrong decisions. That's when we tend to make wrong choices. That's when we tend to find ourselves in even deeper water than we were to begin with. Because we didn't take it to God. We didn't believe in Him. We didn't put our trust where our trust is supposed to be. Let me read something to you from the New Testament. This is from Ephesians, from Paul. He wrote this in his letter. Again, pretty familiar words to many of us, but let me read it to you this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See, Daniel believed that God could. Daniel believed that God would do the impossible. Daniel believed that God had His best in mind. And Paul here perfectly sums up what Daniel believed, that God can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. Grab onto that word this morning, folks. Immeasurably more. Do you understand what that means? It is without measure. It is infinite. It is larger or greater than we can possibly understand or fathom. I've shared with people in the past, I've had some people come and talk to me about financial troubles and financial problems and things that they're dealing with in life. And I said, you know what? Don't ever limit God. I personally have experienced God bringing finances into our lives in ways I never, ever, ever would have imagined. Not something that would have clicked in my mind. Not something I even saw as a source or a thought or a potential avenue. And God said, I'm going to do it this way. And he blessed us. And finances is just one example. Don't get hung up on the money part of things. Understand that God can do things in ways that you and I just cannot conceive. Like giving someone enough wisdom to go up to a king and not just interpret the dream, but tell him what the dream was to begin with. Would we ever have imagined that happening? Have we not read Daniel and knew the beginning and the end of this whole situation? Would you think today that you could tell somebody else what they dreamt? Half the time I can't even remember my own dream. Let alone trying to tell somebody else their dream. There is always hope, folks. Always hope. Even as we walk through these completely unexpected journeys in the course of our lifetime. What we need to do is learn from Daniel's example. To believe, to press on, to trust. And throughout Daniel's life, God used him in ways I guarantee you Daniel never thought possible. Daniel never thought he was going to spend a night in a lion's den and make it out alive. Daniel never thought that he was going to leave Jerusalem and be second in command of all of Babylon. He was blessed in many ways. There's no question about that. But not as he initially expected to be. I said earlier, some of us are going through hard times. Some of us are going through struggles. Some of us are dealing with issues in our lives right now. What is it that God is asking you to trust him for? What is it that God is telling you to believe in him for the answer for? Stop trying to figure it out yourselves. Stop trying to Google it. Stop trying to do it all in your human nature. Take the impossible to God. Ask him to do the impossible. Even in the midst of your horrific circumstances, whatever they are. Even in the face of death, as Daniel did. Ask God to do the impossible and believe that he can. Father, we come before you this morning, and we have to first admit and confess that we're not very good at believing in you for the impossible. In fact, many a times, Lord, if we're truly honest, you're probably the last person we come to. Why? I don't know, but we try to do things ourselves, Lord. We try to make sense of things ourselves. We try to come up with the answers ourselves. Lord, forgive us for that. Please forgive us for that. Help us to understand that our wisdom is stupidity in your sight. You are so much greater and wiser, and your sovereignty is far above anything we can imagine or expect or understand. God, please help us to put our trust, our hope in you. God, please help us to believe in you through the impossible circumstances we find ourselves against. Lord, let our lives be an incredible reflection of you as we trust in you more and more and more every day. Lord, I pray. I pray that you would work through us like you worked through Daniel. That we would see your promises upheld, and that you would work through us to bring honor and glory to you and to change the lives of countless people we encounter. Not for us, not for our sake, but for your glory, Lord. Work through us. Use us. Let us be an example. Let us keep our trust in you and believe in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. Oh, I worship you. I worship you. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Turning lives around, I worship.